I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth.
Yeah.
He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. He shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore.
Do it again. Do it one more time.
I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. He shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore.
Amen. Said, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made the heaven and the earth. My help. My help. In a recent visit to Lowe's, which doesn't happen very often around my family, but we went there to get some paint for Heather to do some work. And you know there, when you walk in to the entrance, and on the left, there's a big section of books. And I started glancing at those because for some odd reason, they have 20 registers, but only two of them are open at any given time there at Lowe's. But we go in, and we have time to wait, so I look over, and there's all these how-to and do-it-yourself project magazines offering some sort of assistance for you to complete a project or task. And then you go to Walmart, and they've got a big section of books now, and even a Christian bookstore, you can go there and there's dozens and dozens and multitudes of self-help books. Anything you need help on, any subject you need help on, there's a book out there to help you. Calvin Ray mentioned a few years ago in a sermon, he simply entitled Help. He said, help is the cry from a mother who has four kids, two dogs, three cats, and a parakeet, and a husband who's been gone away a week on a business trip. He said, help is the cry from a college student who gets down to the final exam and reads over the questions and realizes the test is over a book that they forgot to read during the semester. Help is the cry from someone who just leaves a doctor's office and the doctors say there is no hope. Help is the cry from our pastor at the end of this week when he couldn't get out of his garage. Help is the cry from all the VBS teachers this week after they've had to put up with 130 kids. People are crying for help. This world is crying for help. In recent days, in recent weeks, we can go all the way to China and Myanmar, the earthquake-ridden, destitute cities now. They're crying for help all over the world. Right here, even in America, Tornado Alley, they're crying for help. Even in recent days here in our own community and townships, all these creeks and rivers were overflowing and people were crying for help. There was no way to stop what was happening. All over the world, people are crying for help. And I'm thankful today I can show them my help. And my help comes from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. David wrote here in verse 1, he tells us of lifted eyes. He said, I'll lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. He made a very important statement when he talked about lifted eyes. Why? He said, if you're going to find help in this world, if you're going to find help in your Christian life, you can't be looking down at your problems. You can't be looking down at your circumstances. You can't be looking down at all your troubles. No, you have to lift your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Hey, if you look at your problems long enough, the devil will make you think that you need to keep them. But if you lift your eyes to the one where your help comes from, thank God He'll come and answer your prayer. And then he talks about loosed energy in verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord which made the heaven and the earth. I'm sure David faced a few mountains in his life, and I'm sure he was talking about some of the mountains that surrounded Jerusalem. And listen today, folks. David knew the omnipotence of God. He knew how much power he had. And God would move heaven and earth to help us. He knew God would move heaven and earth to help him. And I'm thankful this morning if we look to Him, if we cry out to Him, thank God Jesus said He would come and rescue us. He would never leave us or forsake us. And I'm thankful today my help comes from God. Hallelujah. David gives us an interesting view toward the hills. See, most people view a hill as a hurdle or a hindrance. But David said, no, they're help. They're help. Well, what kind of help can we get from hills? First of all, we can get strength from the climb. I don't believe God puts hills in our path to hurt us. I think He loves us too much. And listen, if you notice a hill in your life and you go on through the journey of life, and a hill comes in your path, be careful to curse your hills, because you may curse your help. Be careful to curse your heels, because that's exactly where your help's going to come from. God can do one of two things with a heel. First of all, He can remove it. And He does sometimes. Secondly, if you don't remove it, He'll give us strength to climb. And more times than not, God does not remove heels in my life, but He helps me climb them. There's been a few instances where I remember where God removed a mountain out of my way and gave me a clear path. But most of the time, Roger, I remember the climb. I remember the climb when I didn't think, Brian, that I could go on another step. I remember the climb whenever I was struggling with the call to preach. I remember the climb whenever God said, you're not living for me. I remember the climb when we had to stand by my father-in-law's bedside. I remember those climbs. And it was hard to travel up the hill. But thank God, just when I thought that it was over and I couldn't make another step, my help, what? My help came and rescued me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I meet many people and we talk to many people and counsel many people. Throughout the week and months, there doesn't hardly a day go by that we don't pray with someone over the phone from all over the country. And most of them have a negative attitude, wishing they never had a hill to climb. You know why? Because they want victory without a battle. You can't have a win if you don't have a competition. You can't have strength unless you have resistance. It's impossible to have a victory without sacrifice. And that's why our churches are in the condition they're in right now. You know why? Because all they want is cake and ice cream. All they want is banana pudding and Jell-O pudding pops. That's what they want when they come to church. They want a little fluff sermon. They want a little fluff songs. 7-Eleven kind of songs. You know, seven words, sing them over 11 times. And they just think that God's going to show up. And I know He inhabits the praise of His people. But hey, I'm sitting and looking at some people here tonight that's climbed a few hills in your life. And you know exactly what it means to have the rough terrain to climb over. And thank God I've seen you stand to your feet and say, I don't care how high the hill is. I'm going to climb because God can give me strength. Hallelujah. And if all you want is your cake and eat it too, you may be sweet, but you won't be strong. And that's all we have. We don't have a lot of strong Christians anymore. Why? Because they don't want a hill to climb. But listen, you have to determine. God may not remove it. But if He don't, He promised us He would give us strength to climb it. We just got to keep climbing. I was researching some expeditions of Sir Edmund Hillary, and you all know, if you know your history, him and Tenzing Norgay were the first people to successfully climb Mount Everest. The tallest mountain in the world. Its peak is at 20,029 feet. 11,000 attempts have been made to successfully climb Mount Everest, and only 29% of them have done it. 209 people have met their death trying to scale Mount Everest. Most of the time it comes from extreme cold, hypothermia, lack of oxygen, exhaustion. Sometimes they're just not prepared. Sometimes they weren't prepared to climb a mountain. Sometimes they didn't have enough experience. But more importantly than that, all of them can point back to the terrain of the mountain. And Hillary successfully climbed the Mount Everest, they interviewed him. They were interested in how he got to where he was. How did he train to climb Mount Everest? And Thomas is what he said. This is what blessed me. He said, in order to climb Mount Everest, I had to go to the mountains often. I had to go to the mountains often. Now, that might not have blessed you like it blessed me, but it blessed me. You know what that means? Hillary knew that he was going to climb the tallest mountain in the world. He wasn't just going to get up one morning and say, okay, here I go. No, he was going to have to train. He was going to have strength. And he said, I know in order to receive strength, I know in order to get to the top of that mountain, I'm going to have to keep climbing and keep climbing and keep climbing and keep climbing. And even if I fail, I'm going to keep climbing. Even if the doctor says cancer, I'm going to keep climbing. Even if the doctor says there's no hope, I'm going to keep climbing. Even though your spouse says I'm going to leave you, you got to keep climbing, folks. There's no place to stop. If you keep climbing, God will give you strength. Hallelujah. But see, in order to successfully climb a mountain, there's certain items you have to have. Number one, you got to have a firm foundation. You got to have a firm foundation to climb a mountain. I want to thank Don Buckle for giving me some props today. It's been a while since I've used props. I know a lot of you are disappointed. But Don was giving me a little. He climbs bridges, and this is the same equipment they use to climb mountains. Start looking at some of these things that you need to climb a hill, climb a mountain. You need a firm foundation. And all these things contribute to the firm foundation. What we don't see here is shoes. Got to have good shoes. Got to have good shoes. If you don't have good shoes to climb a mountain, you might as well not even get on the mountain. Got to have a good anchor. Got to have a good rope. You got to have a good harness. All these things contribute to a firm foundation. Without the shoes, without the harness, without the anchors, without the tie downs, without the rope, your danger of falling is great. But see, when all these are applied the correct way and they're used the correct way, the danger of slipping is almost nil. Why? Because you got a firm foundation. What does that have to do with me, Brian? Oh, you want to climb a mountain in this spiritual life? Hey, you got to have a firm foundation. You got to have some good shoes. You know where the shoes comes from? The armor of God tells us that our feet are shod with the gospel. The word of God. If you're ever going to climb a mountain, don't even think about climbing the first mound if you don't read your Bible. You cannot make it because you'll get about 10 feet up in the journey and you'll walk around and turn away because you don't have any strength. The only way we can get strength in this Christian life is to read the Bible. We stressed over and over and over and over the importance of reading your Bible. And I can tell just by looking at you, your testimonies, the way you act, your attitude when problems come. I can tell if you read the Bible or not. You know why? Because some of you can stand up and even though no matter what hill you may be facing, you can say, God is going to help me. I found comfort in His Word. That greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You need good shoes. You need a good rope. What's that represent? Your prayer life. Something you can hold on to. Something you can grab on to whenever you feel like you're falling. You can cry out for help and grab on and hold on tight. Old Brother Deb used to say, if you can stay in the pool, he'll pull you through. And you've got to have a rope. You got to pray. I'm just not talking about getting up in the morning and saying, now lay me down to sleep, or Lord, thank you that you... Well, you don't say that when you get up in the morning, do you? But it's more than a blessing over the food. It's about getting down earnest with God. What John said today, a broken and a contrite spirit. That's how you get God's attention. That's how you climb the mountains of life. Pray. You need a good anchor. What's that anchor? Jesus Christ. Don't you ever attempt to climb a mountain without Jesus. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is shifting sand. All other ground is shifting sand. I've anchored in Jesus the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus. I'll fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He had power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. Hallelujah. I know where my anchor comes from. And this rock is Jesus. And I'm sure, I'm very sure, my anchor holds today. Why? Because it's in Jesus Christ. And harness. What's the harness represent? Support. It's your church. It's your church. I found one of the greatest ways to climb a mountain is to get help from someone that's climbed a few mountains. But see, if you don't come to church, it's going to be hard to climb a mountain. You say, Brian, is it that important to come to church? Yeah. It is. I talked to my cousin the other night. Won't tell you his name. We was out at Beach Fork. Had a youth explosion. Had 8 saved Friday night. It was just a wonderful service. But he wanted to talk to me after church. And he preached. He's fallen away from the Lord. He said, I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. I said, what happened? He said, well, I got a job. And I got to work weekends. I said, quit your job. He said, I can't. I need to make money. You need God more than you need money. Amen. Right, amen. Then the truth started coming out. Well, it's really voluntary overtime. I really don't have to take it. But no wonder he's falling away from God. He said, I don't have a desire to even go to church now. I said, well, no wonder. No wonder. If you stay away, then the devil will make you think, well, I shouldn't come back because I wonder what people will think of me. If you only show up for Easter and Christmas and Father's Day and for homecoming, they'll only think you're going to be here for a prize or for food. That's what the devil will tell you. And to be honest, you probably are. But you need church. You need your support. I wasn't planning on saying all this, but some of you need to hear it today. You need to be here. And you know what? Me and Calvin Ray and the deacons and the board expect you to be here. And you know what? If you're not here, we'll check on you. We'll try to get a hold of you. But if you don't, if you decide to skip out 2 or 3 weeks, don't expect a call from us. You know why? Because I ain't going to waste my time on someone that don't want to serve the Lord. There's other people that really need help. And in order for you to climb the hill, God will help you, but you have to start out. And the greatest way to do it, just to get your rope, just keep climbing. See, you need a firm foundation to climb a mountain. I've got to hurry. I'm sorry. Secondly, you need a good guide. It's a lot easier to climb a mountain when you got someone with you that's already been to the top. Oh, man. That's good. Hold on to that. You get that? You get that? It's good. A lot easier to climb a mountain when you're with someone that's already been to the top. Hey, these guys that climb Mount Everest, they don't go alone. They do not do it alone. They go with porters. They go with expert climbing people that have been. They know the trails. They know the pitfalls. They know the crevices. They know the exact best way to go to reach the top. And I'm thankful today that I have a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And you know what the shepherd does, don't you? He goes the way before me. He knows the pitfalls. He knows where the dangerous animals are. He knows where the dangers are around every corner. And I'm thankful today that the shepherd will not lead us where he hasn't already been before. Just trust him and keep climbing with him. Hallelujah. David made a powerful statement in Psalm 23, verse 4. When he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And this is it, "for thou art with me." Wow. David had a few mountains, I'm sure. But he received strength to face the task ahead. See, the mountains, don't curse your mountains. You don't know what God's got prepared for you around the corner. And every hill that God puts in our way is preparing us for the task ahead. I know you get weak. I know you get weary. But I'm reminding you what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. He said, "When I'm weak, then I'm strong." You may have to rest on the mountain, but don't give up. Just keep climbing. God will give you strength. When I was young, I tried out. Practiced for a few weeks for Pee Wee football there at Minford. And I didn't like to get tackled, and that's a pretty important thing to play football. So, that Minford always had a good Pee Wee football team. I guess they still do, Tom. But back then when I was a kid, they used to win all the time. I don't know what happened when they got in high school. I guess they're all playing soccer or something. But they just always had a good Pee Wee football team. And I never didn't understand why, but then I found out when I started practicing. Usually about the end of the practice, the coach would blow his whistle. "Hit the hill!" We knew what that meant. How many of you played Pee Wee football at Minford and you hit the hill? Okay, a few of you. The hill, where Desco Federal Credit Union is now, that's where we practice football. And the hill is just on the other side. You can see it from the funeral home and looking up. There's a hill, a really steep incline. And that was the hill to us. And see, what we would do about the end of every practice, sometimes the middle, sometimes the beginning, it didn't matter, whatever the coach wanted, he would yell at us, "Hit the hill." We would go down to the bottom of the hill, Darren. He would stand at the top of the hill, and he'd blow his whistle. And we just started running. Climbing up the hill, fall down the hill. Climb up the hill, fall down the hill. Climb up the hill, we just keep running and running until we become sick, exhausted, tired from climbing. And we didn't understand, "Coach, shouldn't we be practicing our handoffs and our passes and our plays? Why are we out here climbing a hill?" But then when you get down to the middle of the season and you're about the third quarter and the other team's wore out and you're still strong, then you appreciate the hill. The hills in our life make good fourth quarter Christians. You know what the difference made? It was the hill that made the difference. And if you're ever going to be successful in this Christian life, and if you want to receive strength, you know what makes the difference? It's the hills that we have to climb. Not only is there strength from the climb, but there's security from the calamity. You realize God puts hills in our way sometimes to protect us from what's on the other side of the mountain? Remember the illustration Howard gives about the parade? When we're in a parade and we're maybe afloat in the parade, we can only see what's around us, but God sees the whole parade. He sees the beginning and the end. And God's looking up from on high and He looks down and sees us on the mountain, but He knows the dangers and the pitfalls on the other side. And sometimes He puts a heel smack dab in our path. And we're thinking, "Why in the world are You doing this, Lord?" But don't curse your heels. There may be something a lot worse on the other side you don't even want to touch. How many times have you got mad because you got a flat tire? Made you about 5 minutes late for work, but then when you got to where you was going, there was a wreck and you could have been in that wreck. Don't curse the heels. How many times have your kids, you forgot their sippy cup or something, you had to turn around and go back home, or you forgot something, you forgot your diaper bag and made you late for church, but when you got there, there was a wreck before you got to church and you could have been in that wreck. Don't curse your heels. Remember a few years ago when our pastor got a severe blood clot all the way down his leg, and remember he had to go in the hospital for 3 days? Remember, they did some blood work. Blood clot was bad. If he waited just a few more hours, he would have been gone. But when they done the blood work, they found something else. Diabetes. God put a heel in his life to show the deeper problem. And if diabetes would have went untreated, we probably wouldn't have a pastor today. Don't curse your heels. See, now we can look back, and I can look back. All the pitfalls and all the things that God puts in our life, I can really say that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. How many towns have avoided tornadoes because of a hill? Don't ever pray for your mountains to be removed. They may be protecting you from something a lot worse. Finally, we notice the sighting from the crescent. The greatest reward of a mountain climber is the view at the top. And if you're belly aching about the climb, you don't deserve the view. You see, once we reach the top, once we finally get there, spiritually speaking, we can look back and really see God's desire for our life. I didn't understand as I was going through all the college and the changes of majors and the different jobs. And why would I leave a good job to go work for a Southern Gospel radio station? Why would I do all these things? Why would God have me here and there and over here and over there? And all seemed to be God's will, but it was just a big mess to me. Why would He do all that? Well, now that I'm on top of the mountain, I can see. I can look back and see God was just forming me and fashioning me to get me to where I am today. Just think where I would have been if I hadn't trusted in what God wanted to do. And then when we get to the top of the mountain, not only do we see God's desire, but we have a better view of our destination. I remember as a young boy, I'd go out to my grandmother's out at Outway on the summer. And I'd stay all night with them a couple of weeks. That was my summer vacation. And Scotty, my uncle, he would take me on a four-wheeler and we'd go up behind Grandpa's property and go up on some hills. And we could only go so far with the four-wheeler and we'd have to stop and we'd pull off. And he said, we got to climb the rest of the way. So we'd climb up and, man, it was just wore out. But he always said, I got something to show you. I got something to show you. And when we finally got to our destination, and there was a big cutout opening in the trees, he said, Brian, look, look. And I saw the whole holler. I saw the church. I saw Grandma's and Freddie's. I saw all my cousins, all Beach Fork Hollow. I saw the whole thing. And I thought, wow, I've never seen home like this way before. What a beautiful picture of home. And I never would have gotten that down on the ground. I saw a better view of my home when I got to the top of the mountain. Sir Edmund Hillary said he could see three different countries when he got to the top of Mount Everest. Wow. Just think, Brother Humble, we're nearing the top of the mountain. And I know you traveled a long way, brother. But you know what? The view's getting just a little bit better, isn't it? We can see our home just a little bit clearer. A lot of us have had to climb the mountains of death with family and loved ones. But we have hope today. When we get to the top, we get a better view of home. See, no matter what you're facing today, no matter what help you need, you can find your help from the hills. You say you need a new start? Well, Noah's Ark landed on a mountain. A new start for them. That was Genesis 8, chapter 4. You say you need to know God's direction for your life? Well, Moses heard from God in a burning bush on a mountain. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. So you're struggling with obedience? Abraham led Isaac up a mountain. In Genesis chapter 22. You say, Brian, I need a prayer answer. I need fire to fall from heaven. Well, guess what? Fire fell from heaven on a mountain when Elijah prayed in 1 Kings 18:36. If you need to know how to live the best Christian life that you can live, remember Jesus taught His greatest sermon on a mountain in Matthew 5 through 7. If you need reassurance that Jesus was who He said He was, that He was the Son of God, remember He was transfigured on a mountain in Matthew chapter 17. If you need to find salvation this morning, if you need to know that your sins are forgiven, remember Jesus Christ in Luke 23:33, which died for my sins and yours at this place which is called Mount Calvary. If you doubt whether or not Jesus rose from the dead, remember He was seen by a multitude after He rose and He ascended from a mountain in Acts chapter 1. And if you need hope that this life will soon be over, the angel said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus that you see going up from this mountain will come again on this mountain and receive us into our heavenly home. Thank God your help today comes from the hills." Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. My help. My help comes from the Lord. Comes from the mountains. And I have hope and I have assurance today that if God should tarry and I would go by the way of the grave, my help will still come from a hill. Someday I shall walk through this lonely valley, and Jesus, my Lord, will hold to my hand. Well, thanks be to God, it will be just a shadow. For on top of Mount Zion, I will stand. Someday I shall stand on the top of Mount Zion. And I'll get to look into Canaan's fair land. I'll sing and I'll shout when I reach that city. No, I'll never walk in the valley again. We have hope. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord which made the heaven and the earth.